One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Beatrice, are you hiding something from us? This place is insanely expensive, my friends said in amazement, flipping through pictures on Instagram of my face from different angles. There must be some mistake, it's not me. But there was no point in denying it. I had a very distinctive mole on the bridge of my nose. Don't try to fool us, Beatrice. The thing I feared the most has happened. I was at a dead end, and I needed to find a way out of it. But how could I explain myself to my friends and explain to them what I was doing in that restaurant last night? My name is Beatrice, and I am hiding something from my friends because I'm terribly ashamed of my rich father and his millions of dollars. Once upon a time, we had an ordinary poor family. Mom worked as a cashier in a supermarket, and my father was a salesman in a pet store. We lived in a rented house on the outskirts of town, and we were pretty happy with our lives. We had a roof over our heads, we were never hungry, so there was nothing to complain about. I never knew any other life, and neither did any of my classmates, so I felt quite comfortable. Our greatest treasure is you, Beatrice, my parents always told me, and I think that's how it was, up to a certain point. One day, a lonely old lady moved to our neighborhood. You'd think there was nothing special about it. She moved. What's the big deal? Absolutely nothing surprising or strange. Everyone can live where they want. But there was one but. This lady, Mrs. Reed, was very different from the rest of the neighborhood. She was very, very rich. Well, at least compared to us. Crazy old lady decided to experience a ride called Poverty in Slums. My friends joked about Mrs. Reed's relocation. Among other things, the woman herself seemed to be quite eccentric. Quiet, withdrawn, heavy-eyed. She could sit for hours on a bench by the pond and stare away, often watching the children play in the playground and wiping away her tears. She also spent a lot of money on charity. But with all that, you couldn't call her a nice old lady. "Get out of my house, you little slackers!" she would shout sternly to the teenagers as they approached her house to get a glimpse of the jewels, which, according to the rumors, did not fit in the cupboards and were scattered all over the house. But the strangest and most incomprehensible thing about all this was my dad's behavior. I don't want to confuse you, to add suspense to the story. One day, I was walking with friends through the streets of our neighborhood. As we passed Mrs. Reed's house, we noticed a strange man coming out of the door. He showed with all his appearance that he was afraid of being recognized. He hid his face under his hood and hurried away. "Well, I wonder who it is. Maybe a secret admirer or a volunteer who's helping the poor old lady?" said one of my friends ironically. But it was me who was the most surprised, though I tried my best not to show it. The thing was, I recognized the mystery man as my dad. Absolutely, I could not be mistaken. The sneakers gave the mystery man away. Only my dad had those. I tried to repair them with my own hands because we didn't have money for new ones yet. Besides, his walk, his jacket, 100% it was my father. But what could my dad possibly want in this lonely, mysterious lady's house? The idea that after work he, instead of relaxing in front of the TV, would go help this old lady was totally absurd. I felt uncomfortable and wanted to get to the bottom of this as soon as possible. "Mom, I have to tell you something. It's very important." I decided to talk to my mother that night, and my trembling voice really scared her. "Oh my God, are you in love for the first time? Or did you fail a test again?" Mom took a break from the stove for a minute. I didn't know where to start, so I decided to just tell her what I saw this afternoon. Unfortunately, Mom didn't believe me and said it was either a mistake or a coincidence. But nevertheless, she was wary and soon became convinced herself that I wasn't making it up.
"Honey, I'm going for a run. I'll be back in a couple of hours,"
Dad shouted one Sunday morning. My dad? Jogging?
These are completely incompatible things. And who runs around in pants and shoes? That's when Mama sensed something was wrong and went straight to Mrs. Reed's house to discreetly observe what was going on. An hour later, Mama came home upset and said, "You were right. Daddy had something to do with that poor old woman. I just saw him go into her house." We were both very confused. We didn't understand what was going on. Why was Dad hiding his interactions with Mrs. Reed from us? But one thing was clear. If he was trying so hard to hide something from us, there was something wrong with the story. However, the worst was yet to come the next day. The news spread through the town with incredible speed. Mrs. Reed had passed away in her home. I understand age and all that, but it turns out that the last person to see her alive was my father. It made my mother and me feel uncomfortable. And my father was walking around the house, gloomy and confused, which frightened us even more. Finally, my mother mustered up the courage to ask my father a direct question. "Darling, did you have anything to do with that old woman?" It was as if my father was ready to be confronted one day, so he blurted out, "Nothing. I never had any contact with her. Don't create problems where there aren't any." What happened next was totally confusing. Suddenly, Daddy said he bought a penthouse downtown and we could move in there tomorrow. What? A penthouse? Downtown? Not long ago, this man was wearing ragged, worn-out sneakers and worked in a pet store. And now he's talking about a penthouse? Maybe the store where he works had a goldfish that grants all wishes? Although, as it turns out, at the same time he bought the penthouse, Daddy quit his once-beloved job. "Where did you get that kind of money? Tell me the truth. Your family has the right to know everything," Mom said worriedly. But it only pissed my father off. "What difference does it make? Isn't this what you've wanted all your life?" he answered irritably. That's when it occurred to me and my mother that the only logical explanation for all this was that Dad must have gained the poor old lady's trust in order to get her inheritance. And I hate to even say it out loud, but maybe he had something to do with her death. I mean, we know what some people are capable of doing anything for money. Was my dad one of them? As much as my mother was worried about money coming out of nowhere, all her worries vanished as soon as she stepped through the door of our new penthouse. Only to me, the dirty money remained an embarrassment and a real burden. But I had no choice but to follow my parents. However, I was in no hurry to share the news with my friends. I didn't want my family to be gossiped about. "Beatrice, where did you move to? Will you invite us to visit?" my friends asked me. But I only replied that our new house was in even worse shape than the old one, and that my parents were totally against guests. "Anyway, let's hang out at one of your houses." I had to hide not only our new apartment, but my whole new life. Expensive clothes and shoes, fancy gadgets, jewelry, vacations. It was very difficult to keep it all a secret. But I couldn't flaunt this questionable wealth that my father had acquired. I couldn't. Yes, I used it. For example, when we went out for a walk together, or to a cafe, or to visit my parents' rich new friends. But I felt disgusted to live this life, because unlike my mother, I do not betray my principles. This went on for about a year. And every day I felt like I was walking on the edge. Because at any moment, I could slip up on something small, and then it would all come out. I was scared, and I didn't want that to happen. I cared about my old friends from poor families, my school on the edge of town, and my classmates. But everything happened so suddenly. I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I ended up on the Instagram feed of a high-end restaurant. I could not go there wearing cheap clothes, so in the photo, I was wearing a chic designer dress. For a while, I tried to get out of it, not answering my friends' direct questions, making jokes, being rude. But then I gave in and guiltily said, "I'm sorry. I'm just ashamed of this dirty money," and ran home in tears. I felt awful and disgusted. I hated our new house, my parents, and their money. Dirty papers. I hate it all. And you are monsters! I yelled at my parents. I closed myself in my room and covered my head with a blanket so I couldn't see all this disgusting luxury, which came at the price of the poor old woman's life. A few hours later, Dad came into the room, and he said he had something to tell me.
"Mrs. Reed was my biological mother,"
he said sadly and guiltily. "What? Mother? What about Grandma Susie, who passed away 3 years ago? I refused to believe Daddy's words, and then he decided to tell me his whole life story. Mrs. Reed had decided from a young age to devote her life to theater, and, it must be said, it was her true calling. So when she found out she was pregnant right after graduation, she decided to give up her child in favor of her career. In addition, she managed to find a woman who could not have children, but always dreamed of having them. That woman was Susie, a janitor at that very university. Mrs. Reed managed to build a good career, and she even got married before, but she didn't have any more children. When she got older, she decided to find her son, who she abandoned many years ago. She hesitated for a long time to get in touch with my father, but having learned about her illness and that she had very little time left, the old lady decided to find and visit him.
"Hi, Michael. I am your mother," she said in a trembling voice during their first meeting.
Dad could not believe what was happening because he was always sure that Grandma Susie was his mother. But Mrs. Reed had irrefutable evidence, documents. She moved to our neighborhood and started building a relationship with my dad. And shortly before her death, Mrs. Reed wrote a will in which she stated that she wants to give all her property to her only son. That's how my dad became rich.
"This money is not dirty, Beatrice. I was hiding the truth from you because I was afraid to hurt you."
I felt very sorry for Dad. "I'm sorry you had to lose your mom again," I replied and wiped away my tears. Now I had to get used to the idea that wealth that fell on our family is not dirty at all, and that it rightfully belongs to my father. A few days later, I returned to school where I proudly shared my dad's story. Friends listened to me with interest and said they would also like to have such a grandma.
Hi, everyone. My name is Cassie, and I'm so perfect that all the boys lose their heads over me. However, at some point, all that changed. Well, I'm so perfect that I shine brighter than the sun. I mean, there's got to be a reason why all guys lose their head over me, and probably their vision, because I'm a real dazzler. Every one of them dreams of being my boyfriend, and I'm hoping amongst all this mighty crowd to find the one who'll also dazzle me with his brilliance, and ideally with some diamonds. Boys fight for my attention all the time. I'm used to it. Once, two boys even did a motorbike race for me. I sat bored in the bleachers of the stadium, painting my nails while they rode around. I have no idea what they were trying to accomplish. I left the stadium immediately after a local rich kid texted me. Oh, you have no idea how long I've been on the hunt for him. For the first time in my life, I had to chase someone, instead of turning around and laughing at the poor saps who tried to chase me. But unfortunately, I got my hopes up for nothing when Mark asked me out. He just invited me to a party, and then he just treated me like a friend. But it's better than sitting in the stadium and waiting for two idiots to finish a useless race. Anyway, I was enjoying my life as Miss Perfect. At some point, however, I sensed something wasn't right. In fact, I noticed various prophetic signs as early as this morning. For instance, my hairdryer stopped working. I accidentally broke a nail with a nail file. How is that possible? Well, somehow, it is possible. I must have been cursed by some evil nail master spirit. Also, I was in such a hurry to get to school. I wore a shirt that totally didn't match the skirt. At first, I wasn't surprised that the boys weren't paying attention to me. After all, I wasn't in the best shape, and they must have noticed my broken nail. However, it turned out to be much worse. A new girl came to our school, who wowed absolutely everyone with her beauty. Even Mark, who I'd been chasing. That's when I knew I was screwed. Not only was she more perfect than me, I wasn't even in the best shape that day. And the new Miss Perfect also noticed my broken nail, my flawed hairstyle, and my horrible shirt. "Who is that?" I asked my classmate.
"Her name is Rebecca, and she's joining our class."
"What? She's going to be our classmate? Oh no!" As soon as the new girl walked into class, I was afraid that all the guys were going to choke on their drool. How pathetic and ridiculous they looked. I just sighed heavily and sent out a group message that I was inviting everyone to the party on Saturday. After all, I've been in the school longer than Rebecca, and I've built up quite a reputation. Plus, my parties are legendary.
but no one showed up on Saturday. I, of course, was outraged, so I tried to find out where everyone had gone. As it turned out, Rebecca was also having a party that day, and everyone went to her place because she had a pool and a cool DJ was playing. This is outrageous! I yelled out. I was so angry, I smashed a carafe full of punch. I couldn't take it anymore and I went to the party too. I wanted to know what I was being traded for. There was lots of delicious food and drinks. Guys were swimming in the pool and a DJ was rocking the crowd on the dance floor. Whatever, nothing fancy, just a regular party. Mine would be cooler. When Rebecca approached me with a tray of snacks on it, I gave her an arrogant look and smacked her on the arm. And all the food went flying onto the ground. Who do you think you are? You come to our school and decide you're in charge? No, that's not going to work. I'm in charge. You're nobody and will stay that way if you continue to show off. The new girl started crying. I was pleased with myself for bringing Rebecca to tears, but I didn't expect all the boys to turn against me. The boys immediately started calming her down.
Why did you come here? You've only spoiled everyone's mood. Get lost!
Their bluntness made me gasp for air. Rebecca was embraced by my admirers, and I was supposed to leave? What? Am I in a parallel universe? I had no other choice. I left the party in tears. The next day, I was in for a real shock. Mark gifted Rebecca a red Porsche. He was moved by the girl's tears that he decided to cheer her up. Happy Rebecca hugged the boy and kissed him on the cheek, while I burned with jealousy and anger. Porsche? Seriously? Just over some tears? If I had known it was that easy, I'd be throwing tantrums for Mark every week. I wanted to throw rotten eggs at that car, but that would probably ruin my reputation even more. Instead, I decided to be friends with Rebecca, and then after, I discovered all her secrets. Destroy her. But as soon as I approached the new girl, she was immediately surrounded by her high school football players, who used to carry me in their arms.
Stay away from her.
One of them said, I just wanted to talk.
You already talked once and made Rebecca cry. We won't let her get hurt. You go near her again and we won't let you get away with it. Got it?
Threatened the other one. Holy crap, are they all crazy? Maybe Rebecca had some kind of magic and put a spell on all the guys. I thought nobody would ever look at me now, but I still had admirers outside of school. So I decided to start dating one of those motorbike guys who did a race in my honor back then. His name was Zach. He won, by the way. We drove up to the supermarket on this awesome motorbike, and we looked great. Right up until the moment when Rebecca and Mark pulled up in their limo. They made us look lame and ridiculous. At the store, Mark was buying Rebecca everything she pointed her finger at, and I had to choke down a cheap candy bar because my boyfriend spent most of his money on gas. Hey, I caught Mark by the arm and took him aside. Do you know she's taking advantage of you?
Rebecca's a nice girl, and she's not capable of that. You, on the other hand, really liked my money. And you were the one who wanted to take advantage of me. So back off.
He pushed me away and walked over to Rebecca holding a brand new purse. No, that's not how it works. If this little upstart thought she could outshine me, she's dead wrong. Because I wasn't about to give up without a fight. First, I decided to find out more about who Rebecca was. Luckily, my boyfriend's dad was a cop, so I was able to get some information about her. Turns out, Rebecca and I went to the same primary schools. I immediately remembered an invisible girl who I used to make fun of a lot. No one ever noticed her because all the attention was on me. Was she now determined to get back at me? I also found out that one time, Rebecca got into a serious fight with some girl and her parents got a fine. Why don't I just get her involved in a fight? Then her reputation would definitely be ruined.
Well, why would you do that, Cassie?
Zach asked, while waxing his bike. I want my reputation back. I want everyone to lose their head over me again.
But you already have me. Why do you need others?
The guy hugged me, and I wanted to scream at his stupidity. What do you mean, why? Zach was not the best option. I wanted guys like Mark, not poor guys on motorbikes. You wouldn't understand. It's, you know, a girl thing. I giggled stupidly. The next day, I did my best to provoke Rebecca, but she remained calm. And I was about to say goodbye to my reputation at school forever when I overheard a very interesting conversation.
Rebecca was talking to my classmate and telling her how annoying Mark was, and that she only puts up with him because of the money. She also added that she's sick of all her followers and that she wanted to steal my boyfriend. Wow, that was unexpected. It's a good thing I filmed the whole thing. I told Zach about it, but he wasn't supportive.
Well, why don't you post that video for all to see? It'll only help her, and now she's suffering.
But then everyone will be disappointed in her, and I'll go back to being Miss Perfect.
To me, you're already perfect, and I would never look at someone like Rebecca.
I don't know why, but his words really impressed me. No one had ever said anything to me like that before, and Zach was able to surprise me and make me feel good without money or gifts. But despite that, I didn't want to back down from my plan. Putting the video online was too easy. What about playing it during our traditional end-of-school-year ball? The effect would be amazing. For me, of course. When I got to the prom, I wasn't surprised to see all the guys hanging around Rebecca. Hardly anyone paid any attention to me. And I was about to get the memory stick to the prom host when I noticed something. Rebecca was reluctantly dancing with every guy and kept looking at me. I noticed the look of dissatisfaction on her face. Well, of course, but I couldn't care less about her, and the new girl just wanted to make me suffer. I looked at the memory stick, smiled, and put it away in my clutch. Zach was right. There's no need to ruin anything, because Rebecca, sooner or later, will ruin everything herself when she gets tired of the circus. I left the ball with a happy look on my face and went to my boyfriend's. So shall we go for a ride on the bike? I asked.
Whatever you want,
he answered. For the first time, I enjoyed our time together. We went to a secluded place, watched the sunset, and cuddled. At that moment, I didn't care about Mark or my reputation at school, and I certainly didn't care about Rebecca. But on the very last day of school, something interesting happened. As I walked down the corridor, I was suddenly attacked from behind. It was Rebecca. She started a fight right in front of everyone.
You always piss me off. You drive me crazy now. I've done everything I can to ruin your reputation, and you don't even respond to it, she yelled.
Everyone was shocked, and I pulled out one of her tricks and started crying. All the guys immediately ran up to me to console me. Even Mark came to my defense. That was the moment Rebecca destroyed herself and ran away from school in shame.
You were right about her,
Mark said.
I'm sorry I didn't believe you at first. Do you want to go out sometime?
He smiled and took my hand. Get lost, I said calmly. I'm not interested in people like you anymore. Everyone was shocked when I blew off this rich kid. I was relieved. I got my reputation back. Mark asked me out on a date, and I had the nerve to reject him in front of everyone. And then there was my boyfriend, Zach, waiting for me outside of school, who wouldn't trade me for any Rebecca. Being perfect is great, and being surrounded by admirers is fine too. But it's more important to be surrounded by people who see more than just your perfect looks. They see your soul. Zach made me realize that, and now I'm happy. Do you consider yourself a perfect person? Write your answers in the comments. I'd be interested in reading them. And be sure to share this video with your friends.
I stepped back in fear, thinking I was dead. With my back against the wall, I squeezed my eyes shut and couldn't hold back a scream. Now this huge hot dog was going to kill me for sure. Why did we even come out of the bunker? Hi, my name's Stacy, and I lived in a bunker with my family for 17 years, and it honestly wasn't the best idea to come out of there. But back to me and the killer hot dog, which was reaching out to me. He must have had a gun in there. I screamed even louder, and I think the hot dog himself was scared by my scream. Come on, it's just a flyer for a coffee shop. You don't have to react like that. No, I mean, I know I've pissed off everyone in this neighborhood, but your reaction, miss, is very hurtful, you know. What? You can talk? I asked with a dumbfounded expression, touching a soft hot dog. It's strange. It's made of some kind of material. Pleasant to the touch. Isn't it real? Of course I can. I'm actually a human being too, and you should respect my work. An offended hot dog threw some colorful flyers at my feet and walked away to my loud laughter. I couldn't calm down when I imagined what the whole situation looked like from the outside. And I didn't know people here dressed up in food costumes to promote the food itself. Well, that's not a bad move. I took the flyer and went to the cafe to get my free hot dog. And while I ate the tastiest food in the world, sitting at a table, I thought about my parents, who are probably looking all over town for me. We came out of the bunker not long ago. Honestly, I thought I'd spend my whole life in it, because Mom and Dad were terrified of the outside world. They always told me it wasn't safe here, and I believed them, even though it made me sad. We had a lot of books in the bunker, and I read them every day, and they were so interesting and exciting. I wanted to see more and more of the outside world every day. But then, something clicked in their heads, and they realized that they couldn't keep me in isolation forever. So when I turned 17, we went out on the surface, and I was blown away by how big and noisy the world really was. Honestly, I was expecting to see vast oceans and pirates. And by the way, I did see them, except they weren't sailing in a huge ship. They were entertaining children near some tall building. I ran up to them with a happy smile, and I told them I wanted to be a pirate too, to look for treasure. The pirate even got confused, and I took away his sword and began to scare the children, thinking that they probably want to take the chest of gold. But the children were not frightened. They laughed and shouted for joy, and one of them even took my sword and bent it. "It's not real?" I wondered. "Of course it isn't real," the pirate grumbled. "So you're not a real pirate?" I was about to burst into tears. "Girl, are you out of the woods? Pirate don't exist since a long time ago. Now go away and don't interfere with children's party." Not only had I been insulted, but I was disappointed in pirates. But that wasn't the worst part. I lost my head so much in joy when I saw the pirates that I ran away from my parents and got lost. At first, panic overwhelmed me, and I couldn't breathe. The high-rises were floating in front of my eyes, and my head was spinning. But when I calmed down, I realized this was a great chance to explore the real world. I was sure my parents had limited me in many ways. And then, an epic encounter with the hot dog happened, which scared the crap out of me, because I didn't know that food had learned to walk. But as it turned out, it was just a man who made me try a hot dog for the first time in my life. To be honest, I was getting pretty tired of canned food when I walked out of the cafe, insanely happy. I almost got hit by a car on the road. "Look where you're going!" the driver shouted at me. "You watch where you're going! Can't you see that the light is red?" "Girls aren't allowed to cross the road on red." The driver, upon hearing this, wagged his finger at my temple, and I showed him my tongue and crossed the road still, even though other cars were honking their horns. Oh, what strange rules they have. Who decided to discriminate against women and forbid them to cross the road at a red light? But as soon as I stepped back from that rudeness, someone grabbed my arm. "Jin, how many times do we have to look for you? We're in the middle of a photo shoot." There was a disgruntled woman standing in front of me I've never seen before in my life. But I didn't. "Let's go, otherwise Alex will be furious. What's the matter with you anyway? You're dressed like you just got out of the bunker." "But I am." "That's a good one, Jean. But now is not the time for it." I spent the whole trip trying to explain to the stranger that she'd mistaken me with someone else. But the woman was either on the phone with someone else or she wasn't paying attention to me. We arrived at some studio. The photographer looked at me unhappily and said I looked terrible. "Is everyone here so rude?" I got indignant and crossed my arms. "You act like it's your first day on the job, girl," Alex snorted. "Run and get changed. I don't want to see that trash on you again." They took me to a room with a big mirror, and I got makeup and cool fancy clothes, which were more like shapeless rags. How are my clothes any worse? They're even better. What kind of fashion is this? During the photo shoot, Alex kept yelling at me because my posing was awful, and I didn't know how else to stand. I wanted to cry and go back to the bunker because my loving parents were waiting for me there, not angry photographers. "You're crying too? You're crazy. We're gonna have to do your makeup all over again." "I'm not Jin. Leave me alone." "Have you been out till morning again? You feel very bad if you don't get enough sleep." "That's enough. I'm leaving." They tried to stop me. Fortunately, the real Jin appeared in the studio at that time. She stared at me in utter shock. Alex and that woman were also surprised. They'd mistaken their model with me. However, there was no apology from them. They just threw me out, calling me a fraud. How rude people are, after all. After that incident, I sat down on the pavement and I cried. I was so scared. I was lost and didn't know how to find my parents. I wanted to go back to the bunker. And even though it was cramped and gloomy, it was a normal environment for me and my family. I walked down the street as far as I could see until I met a policeman. Seeing my condition, he asked me what had happened. I told him the details of my situation. He didn't believe me about the bunker, but he promised to find my parents. They took me to the police station, where I spent full 24 hours. But it was worth it, because the next night, my parents came to pick me up.
Stacy, honey, we're so glad we found you.
We were so worried.
Me too.
I hugged Mom and Dad, and I cried tears of joy. The policeman asked me sternly if it was true that we were living in a bunker. I just wanted to say that it was true. My father interrupted and said,
"That a bunker is what we call our little provincial town."
Later, my parents explained to me that we shouldn't tell outsiders where we lived. Are we going back to the bunker? No, my daughter, my mother said, and she stroked my head. We'll live here now. I was very upset because I didn't like this world at all. In the books, it was different, but in reality, it was noisy and dusty and terribly cruel. Turns out, my parents had an apartment all along. We started living there. At first, it was very hard for me to fall asleep in a soft bed, going out to the store every day and standing in huge lines. But most of all, for some reason, it was the loud music that scared me. I wanted to hide from it as quickly as possible. Also, it seemed very strange to me that people would ask me how I was doing, but when I started to tell them my life story, they didn't listen to me at all. How silly. They asked, didn't they? However, I really liked the internet. But when I started using it, I ran into some scammers. They stole all the money from my dad's account that I'd been saving in there for 20 years. Can you believe it? I was so ashamed. I even tried to lie about having nothing to do with it.
You think the money disappeared on its own?
Dad frowned. Of course. The internet is so unpredictable and confusing. But in the end, Dad cracked me up and only scolded me for lying to him. That's how we ended up with no money. I was insanely ashamed of what I'd done, and I wanted to give my father back all his savings. But how? I don't know how to do anything. I didn't even go to school. They probably wouldn't hire me without it. However, good luck turned to me. One day, I met the very same djinn in a store. The girl recognized me and apologized for the way I'd been treated so rudely. And then, she made me a lucrative offer. Since we looked so much alike, we could do a couple's photo shoot. That would be awesome. The PR people would come up with a story about missing twins who meet up years later. But that's a lie, I objected. Yeah, but why do we care? They'll pay a lot. That's all that matters. Do you agree? Of course, I said yes. After all, our family needed the money. But I really didn't like modeling. Everyone yelled at me. They were always pulling my hair, and I had to pose for hours at a time. Oh, it was exhausting. Jin, on the other hand, was happy with everything. She once told me that we were making a lot of money now, and she was giving half of it to me. But then I found out by chance that she wasn't giving me half of what she earned, but only a third. Even she lied to me, although I trusted her, told her about the problems in the family. But Jin was devoid of empathy, and she cared more about making money than about my trouble. After that, I quit my job, even though I needed the money. Our family would get by somehow, but I wasn't going to put up with the lie, because I knew that if you've been cheated once, then they would cheat you the second and third time. My parents, learning about this situation, supported me, and then made an appointment to see a psychologist, because every day in the big city, I was getting worse and worse. Thanks to therapy, I stopped being afraid of music, big buildings, and the strange people that were all around me. And I finally started using the subway, and I even felt comfortable there. The subway was underground. It reminded me remotely of my home bunker. Later, when our family had money, my parents hired me a homeschooling teacher
so I wouldn't look too stupid at 17. That's how drastically my life changed when I came out of the bunker. I'm used to it now, and I remember my past adventures with laughter. How would you feel in the big city after living in isolation? Write your answers in the comments. Click the bell so you don't miss new stories. And like this video.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sue, and animals like me very much because I understand their language. In fact, this is not an innate gift. Soon you will know where I learned it. When I was about 7, I realized that I could understand animals and vice versa. My parents and I were visiting friends of our family. They lived in a huge farmhouse. Of course, I could not resist the rabbits, horses, and the baby chicks, so I hung out with them almost all day. Once, I realized that a watchdog named Wind had been having a headache for a pretty long time already, and he asked me to take him to the vet. How could I understand that? I have no idea. Telepathically, I guess? I could have taken it for a childish fantasy and simply ignored the dog's complaints, but I decided to tell the adults about the dog's problem. My parents gave me a very strange look and felt awkward. It didn't seem funny for their friends, though. They started asking me for how long he'd been suffering from pain and why he hadn't told them about it before. And how was this dog supposed to tell them about it? But that was not the point. It turned out that about a month ago, the owners noticed something strange in Wynn's behavior. This kind and even-tempered dog turned into an aggressive badass. Moreover, he behaved like that not only with the other animals, but also with the owners, who attributed everything to the poor fellow's age. That night, they took Wynn to the vet, who delivered the verdict. The dog was healthy. He was very surprised when the owner insisted on examining the dog's head. As a result, Wynn was diagnosed with a very serious and unpleasant disease, but it was successfully cured. He keeps guarding the farm and is very thankful for my help. By the way, the horses on that farm asked to tell the owner that they did not like the new feed and they asked for the old one back. I was a complete stranger to them and I had no idea what they were being fed with and I never wanted to know that. However, I was right even about that. The new feed appeared in the stable less than a week ago and the horses could barely eat it. After that, I decided to contact the animals more often in order to find out if I could understand them for real, and what such communication could really bring. But my decision was not that important because cats, dogs, and even birds came to me on their own will and shared their problems and thoughts. One day, a cat named Martin came up to me on the street. He went out for a walk. He told me to change my route because there was something scary going on in front of the bank. He told me there were a lot of police. Some women were shouting and children were crying. I didn't want to ruin my plans because of the cat. I was in a huge hurry for my friend's birthday party, so I just kept walking. Martin trailed behind me, grumbling that women were very stubborn and that our logic was twisted. He asked me to change my mind and go back, and I asked him to back off and do his own thing. When I finally got to the bank, I heard shots and saw that the street was surrounded by police. I actually heard women and children crying. I whipped around, grabbed Martin, and ran away. We sat in the nearest alley, and I decided to ask him how we communicated. Could he explain it to me? He said that this was his first time, too. Normally, people could not understand him at all. Martin and I became friends after that. When he went for a walk, he dropped in and called on me. We could wander about the streets and talk about life for hours. We often met other cats who were very surprised that I could understand the cat language. By the way, cats have their own mindset and they are all very different, just like people. They can be open and kind, but they can also be feisty and aggressive. I don't know how, but soon the journalists found out about me and decided to interview me. They asked if I knew where I got this ability from and when I found out about it. I replied that I did not know, but most likely it was just my feature. I couldn't wait for my interview to come. I wanted to see myself on TV and record the broadcast to remember it. I also told all my friends and acquaintances on which channel and what time the program would be, so I was not the only one who couldn't wait for it. And there it was, the long-awaited broadcast, which immediately surprised me with its name. The topic of the show was Experience Stress Revealed Her Incredible Ability. That's strange. What stress were they talking about? I didn't remember telling them anything like that. In fact, I never complained about my life because I thought that I was very lucky with my parents. I thought maybe there was going to be an additional story in the show. When the show started, I was shocked right away because there was a photo of a little girl in a doghouse in the opening. Have they really decided to make me a laughingstock by comparing me to a dog? I thought, and started to worry about how that would make me look to my friends. However, the reality was much worse. At the very beginning of the show, the TV host started to tell a story about little Sue who had experienced great stress. She was 3 when tragedy struck. Her father was killed in a shootout, and her mother took her little daughter to a village where they started to live in a small private house. Nobody knew what happened to her mother when she disappeared, but one day Sue was found in a doghouse together with a stray dog and her puppies. The girl turned into Mowgli, and she was likely to have spent a pretty long time with the animals. She used to eat with them from the bowl that the stray dog brought and used to sleep together with them on the ground. When people found her, she was scared. She did not speak at all, and she was very dirty. However, she got along well with dogs. Have you already guessed that it's about me? I did not believe it at first. I was hoping it was not me, but some other girl. But yes, it was about me. And then a reporter said that soon after I had been sent to the orphanage, people came to adopt me. Those were my current parents. They taught me to eat using silverware, talk, and sleep on the bed. I managed to catch up with the children of my age in terms of developmental level. I learned how to use modern conveniences, but I kept feeling comfortable with animals. It turned out that I had always been like this. And even when I realized that I could understand animals and vice versa, my parents were not surprised at all because I had been raised by animals for some time. They always knew about that, but they did not tell me anything about it, just as they hid my origin from me. I never thought that I was adopted. That was a real shock for me. After the show, my phone was ringing off the hook. I got a pile of messages from my friends and classmates asking me what it all meant. They even felt sorry for me. At that time, I was not ready to answer any questions and simply turned off my phone. But I had a lot of questions for my parents. They also saw the show, but at that time they were at work, so they came home with a prepared speech. They confirmed the words of the reporter that I was just like Mowgli. They admitted that I was adopted and that I used to live with dogs. And they said that they had no idea that the journalists would do such a deep dive. They were hoping to keep the secret of my origin at least until the legal age. And then my mom and dad asked me to forgive them. To be honest, I didn't understand why I should forgive them. I wasn't angry at them. I just wanted to know the details of my early childhood and about my life before I became part of this family. And of course, I was dying to know where my mother was. My parents agreed to help me find her, but unfortunately, that turned out to be impossible. She was still listed as missing. We found out only that she used to work as a dog handler until my father died. It meant that I got that love for animals not only because I was close to them, but also genetically from my biological mother. By the way, after the show, people started asking me to talk to their pets and help understand them. It began to bring me some money. Sometime after the show, a lot of people simply turned away from me, but some kept supporting me, and I needed time to digest the information received and make it clear in my head. The news was very sudden and unexpected. However, I've recently realized that I cannot change the past, and it's good that I don't remember anything from my early childhood. But if I have a unique opportunity to understand animals, I must use it. Maybe this is my chance to become famous and to make my contribution to science. Would you like to understand the language of animals? And if you had such an ability, how would you use it? Share your answers in the comments. Also, like this video and subscribe to our channel.
I suspected that my older sister was hiding something from us. I had to spy on her to find out the whole truth. Hello, my name is Robin, and I want to share my story with you. One day, our biology teacher caught some kind of infection. We weren't too worried about his health, rather the opposite. After all, we were free earlier. Joyful, with vanilla ice cream in my hand, I was returning from school. There was no one at home. Taking advantage of the rare moments of silence, I lay down on the sofa. I was resting and texting with Jenna, when suddenly there was a click on the lock of the front door. Slowly, slinking like a cat, my sister Carrie entered the living room. I stayed unnoticed on the couch and made no sound. I watched her suspicious behavior. Everything would be okay if my sister didn't hold a Prada bag in her hands. My eyes just popped out of my head. You would understand me if you knew what a poor and conservative family we have. Parents believe that buying luxury branded items is unacceptable. And they gave us so little pocket money that it wouldn't be enough. I didn't know what to think. I decided to ask Carrie directly and knocked on her door. Usually it didn't lock, but not this time. "Just a minute," the sister called from the back of the room. This also seemed strange and unusual to me. When Carrie opened the door, she looked flustered.
"Oh, it's you,"
she said with relief. "Who were you waiting for?"
"I thought maybe the parents returned earlier. What do you need?"
She wanted to get rid of me as soon as possible. I noticed a handbag in her hands. Carrie looked surprised.
"The handbag?
From Prada?"
She laughed. "You imagined it. I don't have a bag at all. You must have confused it with a backpack."
Carrie pointed defiantly at the backpack, which had been casually thrown on the floor. "No, I definitely saw it," I insisted.
"Well, I know for sure that I don't have any handbag."
I had to step back, because I was sure that Carrie was lying to me. But why? I won't tell my parents the first time I get a chance. So that time, I left with nothing. Mom and Dad came home late from work, and in the evening, we all get together for dinner. That evening was no different from the previous ones. Carrie behaved as usual. I followed her every movement, every intonation in her voice. I thought maybe something would give her away. But no. She was the old Carrie. Talkative, cheerful, she talked the whole evening.
"What a tasteless lunch at school. Overcooked beans and cold potatoes. It was terrible."
Parents nodded and answered something, maintaining an easy conversation. Of course, I kept my suspicions to myself. On an ordinary evening dinner, it would look stupid. For a while, I even forgot about the mysterious handbag, until something else happened. One day after school, I was walking with my friend Jenna. We drank milkshakes and discussed which of the guys in class is the cutest.
"Kyle for sure,"
Jenna put forward the version. I didn't agree with her.
"Well, I don't know. I'm for Derek. Plus, he has a car." "But Kyle's parents have a jacuzzi at home."
So we would continue to list the pros and cons of the guys. If I hadn't accidentally seen my sister in the restaurant window. Carrie was sitting at a table with a strange man. I, following some inner impulse, immediately hid behind a bush.
"What happened to you?"
Jenna asked in bewilderment, grabbing my hand. "See that girl?" I pointed at Carrie.
"Yeah?"
"That's my sister."
"So what?"
"She's sitting in an expensive restaurant with a stranger who's much older than her. It's very suspicious. If the parents saw Carrie now, they definitely wouldn't like it." Jenna just frowned slightly, not really delving into my family affairs. I wanted to understand what was happening with my sister and find out what kind of double life she was leading. During the day, Carrie is an ordinary schoolgirl, and by the evening, she lives someone else's life. Maybe she's a spy or a professional thief like Catwoman. It was necessary to act carefully. I didn't want to throw false accusations or blame her for something without evidence, because she is very smart and resourceful. I needed a very good plan. I came home when Carrie was gone. Sister came late in the evening, what caused concern to the parents and incurred her wrath.
"Caroline, do you know what time it is?"
menacingly asked the father.
"I don't know, like 9?
"No,
It's already 9:30. My mother always spoke quietly, but at the same time, her voice was very menacing. At times like these, I wanted to hide away.
Sorry, I didn't notice.
You should work on your punctuality if you don't want to stay at home all next weekend.
Carrie put on a guilty face and went upstairs.
I didn't want to meet her on stairs, so I ran into my room and closed the door.
I was left alone with my thoughts and compared some facts. In the restaurant, I saw my sister in different clothes. She was wearing an elegant dress, and she came home in her usual t-shirt and jeans. Carrie didn't want anyone to know her secret. That's why she carefully sweeps all the traces of her double life. Thoughts of Carrie wouldn't let me go even in bed. I tried to put forward various assumptions about what's going on with my sister. She walks in an expensive dress, wears a Prada handbag, and visits luxury restaurants. And also that man. I didn't like him right away. Some kind of unnatural, with an arrogant expression on his face. I hope he didn't drag Carrie into something dangerous and illegal. Anything could happen. What if she became part of the criminal world, or suddenly won the lottery? Now she's spinning in higher circles, and maybe she's ashamed of us. These thoughts made my stomach hurt. I needed to know for sure. I've been wanting to do something for a long time, but everything could not be decided. I was sure that I needed to search her room while Carrie was at school. Our biology teacher is still holed up at home after the infection, so tomorrow it'll be possible to leave early again. This is a great chance to find out what my sister is hiding. The next day, as I planned, I got home before Carrie. Jenna protested. She wanted to watch the football teams practice together. Her beloved Kyle played that day, but her tempting offer intrigued me, much less than my sister's secret. Sorry, I can't. I have urgent business.
Someone died?
I don't know yet. Leaving Jenna in disbelief, I rushed home. Our parents at this time of the day, as usual, disappeared at work. And Carrie was on her math lesson. Therefore, I had an hour or so for everything to be done. I can't lose a minute. I was going to be methodical. Explore one corner after another, in order not to miss something important. But when I entered the room, my plans went to hell. Curiosity was so great that I just pounced on the first cabinet shelves that I came across and began to turn everything upside down. Things flew like fireworks behind my back, and after a second, they fell on the floor. 15 minutes later, the floor was littered with Carrie's clothes. And at that time, I didn't care. How I clean it all up? I was burning with one desire, to find something interesting. And I succeeded. In a pile of socks, I found a silver box. I've never seen it before. I was glowing with excitement. What could be in there? It must be something secret. I slowly opened the lid and froze in amazement. The box was full of all sorts of jewels. There were gold chains, a diamond necklace, earrings with sapphires. I literally froze with my mouth open. I couldn't believe I see all this for real. Maybe I overheated and it's just a glitch, a game of my imagination. But before I could decide whether it was true or not, a voice came from behind me.
Kick it! What are you doing here?
Carrie stood in the doorway, staring in shock at the clothes lying on the floor. She didn't like anyone to enter the room in her absence at all, not to mention someone touching her personal things. I got scared. I couldn't say a word.
I ask again, what the hell are you doing in my room?
I hid the box behind my back. I
was just looking for one thing. I thought maybe you took it by accident.
Carrie gave me a furious look.
I didn't take anything from you. How dare you do something like this?
Well, I...
What do you have behind your back?
Squinted Carrie.
Nothing.
My sister moved towards me. I stepped back a little and leaned against the wall. I had nowhere to run. Carrie grabbed my hand and the box fell to the floor. The jewels scattered in a glittering heap.
Thief!
My sister screamed and attacked me. We grappled and fell to the floor. We haven't fought since childhood, but there was an exceptional case.
I didn't steal anything!
I tried to shout, but my sister didn't listen. I got angry too. because she's the one who spreads the secrets. I just wanted to get the truth. After a 5-minute romp, we finally let each other go. I struggled to my feet and dusted myself off. At that moment, we were looking amazing. Tousled hair, eyes red with anger. "Get out of my room!" my sister hissed. "Like I want to stay here!" I slammed the door and went to my room. I fell on my bed. I literally seethed with anger. I wanted to tell my parents everything, but I decided not to. Carrie and I didn't talk for a whole week. She pouted and avoided me, but I couldn't let it go. I needed to know the truth, whatever it takes. I figured that the only way to find out my sister's secrets was to follow Carrie. I waited when she left the house and followed her using my spy skills. First, she ran into some diner. She came out of there in a new dress. I was a little jealous that she had such outfits. After the diner, Carrie headed to an expensive restaurant. One of those places where the richest and most powerful people in the city go. The same man sat down next to her at the table. Through the window, I saw my sister take a necklace out of her purse and hand it to the man. She said something to him, but I can't read lips. Though it was clear to me anyway. Sister steals jewels and then sells them on the black market. I couldn't take it anymore. Without asking Carrie anything, I ran home and told my mom and dad everything. A scandal erupted in the evening, but it didn't turn out the way I thought. First of all, Carrie didn't steal anything. I don't know why I decided that. Maybe I watched too many spy movies. Secondly, she simply hid the fact that she had found a job and a very unusual one. One day she went to a jewelry store just to look at the jewelry. One diamond ring caught her attention. It seemed to Carrie that it was a fake, which she informed the seller about. He laughed, but then he nevertheless sent the diamond for examination. And a few days later, Carrie was contacted by the shop owner, trying to figure out how she knew the stone wasn't real. Sister couldn't really explain, citing intuition. The jeweler invited her to take a test and laid out several pieces. Carrie easily determined where the real stones were and where the cheap glass ones were. They offered her to work with the store, and then Carrie got private clients. Rich people wanted to know if fake diamonds had been sold to them. And for this service, they were ready to pay big money.
"But why didn't you tell us anything?"
Father asked. "I was afraid. You forbade us to earn extra money and buy expensive things. That's why I did it secretly." It soon became clear that Carrie had earned almost $1 million from this job. "Wow, I didn't even think it was possible." The parents didn't get angry for long. At first, they wanted to forbid Carrie to do that, but then they decided that if she found her vocation, then they shouldn't interfere. For a while, Carrie sulked at me and continued to ignore me. After all, I gave her up. But then we made up and became sisters again. Carrie used the money she made to take me to the Côte d'Azur, where we rode a yacht and swam in the sea. It was an amazing summer. I'm glad that my sister found her favorite thing, even though her ability seems incredible. Have you ever suspected your loved ones of a double life? Tell us in the comments how your suspicions ended.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.